But we want to start off today with a big hearing up on Capitol Hill. The Office of Federal Procurement Policy will require agencies to submit business cases for new multi-agency and agency-wide multiple award contracts. Federal News Radio has been telling you all about the proliferation of multiple award contracts over the last decade, and it's costing agencies and vendors millions of dollars each and every year. The decision by OFPP to require these business cases is just one of several changes that were announced today at a Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Ad Hoc Subcommittee on Contracting Oversight hearing. And Federal News Radio's Jason Miller joined. Federal News Radio's Jason Miller is joining us now live from Capitol Hill with details. Hey, Jason.
Good afternoon, Chris.
So what changes should agencies expect from OFPP? It sounds like they should be looking out for some.
They should. There's definitely a bunch coming. Now, obviously, you mentioned the business case one. That's going to be guidance coming later this summer on multi-agency contracts. Now, the business case will require agencies to evaluate the cost of awarding and managing the contract, comparing this to the likely fees that agency would incur by using existing vehicles or seeking acquisition assistance from people like GSA. Now, the goal here is to help improve the internal management and oversight of multi-agency contracts. Now, this has been a problem for some time. You have these government-wide acquisition contracts, GWACs, such as Alliance or Millennia that GSA runs, or CIO-SP2 that NIH runs, or NASA SOUP. But then you have these other contracts that really have been growing as multi-agency contracts. DOD's Encore 2 is used as an example today at the hearing. So the goal here is really to review whether there's outside agency, maybe outside contracts to use may be warranted instead, if there's vendors that already meet your needs somewhere else, really go through the same process that agencies now go through when they want to do a GWAC. Now, at the same time, they're asking, Dan Gordon did not say he's going to put this in policy, but he is strongly encouraging agencies to do that same business case when they're doing agency-wide specific contracts. And that's a big change. Now, it's, I think, a little surprising that he didn't go as far to say we're going to put this in policy to require agency-specific or agency enterprise-wide contracts to do business cases. But I think OFPP strongly encouraging it is a sign.
So GSA also testifying there today, I believe. What are some of the things that they are trying to address these issues?
Now, GSA is under the same pressure as I think a lot of agencies, because a lot of their revenue comes from these multiple award contracts. So they're doing a couple things. They're going to invest in the acquisition process. They want a more agile system. They want an enterprise acquisition solution to really create a long-term, what they call an end-to-end electronic contracting system. They're going to run some pilots this fall on three schedules for their first module, which is a pricing module, and this will help contracting officers negotiate better prices under the schedule. They're also upgrading the GSA Advantage program. Let me just give you a little bit of background on GSA Advantage. As Steve Kempf, who's the acting Federal Acquisition Services Commissioner, says, they were the Amazon before there was Amazon.
Right.
This was the place to go to find out what goods and services you can buy.
Ooh, I'm going to have to fact check that to see if they were actually around before Amazon.
Well, if they do, I'm sure you can let Steve Kempf know.
Yeah, I'll let him know.
But each day, GSA receives about 500,000 hits on GSA Advantage. Now, what they're going to do is they're going to upgrade it to include Web 2.0 capabilities, search capabilities. They're going to actually give you the ability, if you put in, let's say, flat-screen TV, they're going to produce recommendations, price comparisons, and actually direct links to the company's shipping system so you know where you're going. The eBuy tool also will be made better in several ways, because they're seeing a huge increase, a 14% increase this year alone.
Really?
And $3.4 billion in awards using eBuy. So that's another one of their areas that they're really focusing on. And, of course, training. Steve Kempf, Dan Gordon, several people have said time and again, we've got to train the acquisition workforce. We've got to let them know what's going on. And that all goes back to, you know, the idea of strategic sourcing and blanket purchase agreements that Dan Gordon and OFPP want to pursue in the coming months.
This panel is led by Senator McCaskill and, of course, Senator Brown from Massachusetts. Did you get a sense that they were satisfied with the answers that they got both from ESPN, from OFPP, GSA, and the other folks on the panel?
You know, it was mixed. I think that they were happy to hear some of the steps that OFPP and GSA were taking, but they were also, you know, they went after, if you will, Rick Gunderson, the Homeland Security Department Deputy Chief Procurement Officer, but why they have First Source, why they have Eagle. In fact, Senator McCaskill says, I want to see your numbers, your comparison between why you need First Source and Eagle versus why not you're using an existing contract, which is exactly the same thing that we were talking about at Federal News Radio about a month and a half ago when we did our special report contract overload. Mr. Gunderson says if you look at the fees associated with the $8 billion so far spent on Eagle, he thinks those fees would be in the millions. Then he says, well, it would cost us to establish First Source and Eagle as contracts about $3 to $4 million, and he thinks that's less than what they would have paid in fees. McCaskill is not pleased and did not get exact numbers. She wants exact numbers from Gunderson. So I think DHS's Eagle 2 contract, which is coming up for recompete, that may see some pressure from Congress if he can't produce a fair estimate to say yes, they are saving money by going their own way. She also went in another direction around the blanket purchase agreement. We talked about on Federal News Radio most recently that GSA awarded a BPA to customers for office supplies, 11 small businesses, one large business. And basically what this is, it says, if you go buy office supplies, you've got to use this BPA and you've got to get those best prices. McCaskill wanted to know, why can't you just have the president say, use it or else? And Dan Gordon was very funny. He goes, well, I'm not sure if we want to make it illegal not to use a contract because there are unique reasons why. And McCaskill didn't agree with that. She thought it was silly. Why wouldn't we want to make it illegal to use the best prices possible? Because we should be getting those prices. So it was a very interesting exchange there as well. Both McCaskill and Brown talked to GSA about why do you even charge fees. Again, another issue we addressed in our contract overload special report, the fact that a lot of agencies go with their own way because they're worried about the fee structure that GSA proposes. Are they going to pay too much in fees? Well, the point is, GSA said, well, if we don't have fees, we can't pay for what we do.
We can't stay in business. They operate like a business.
So in fact, what came out of the hearing today, which is very interesting, is GSA had $200 million plus. They had a surplus, as they say, or a profit that we normal people use last year, and they're going down the same path, about $100 million profit this year. So things are going very well for GSA in the multiple award schedule, the GWAC areas.
Yeah, we had folks who were involved with the creation of the Eagle contract on when you were doing your series ran, and the biggest challenge that they have is they have they're the neck that people come and go after if the contract doesn't get awarded. If you outsource that, they don't have the same kind of drive. It's a person within the agency, and that's the question that I hear most people talking about why they wouldn't essentially go with another contract.
Well, that's one of the things GSA is trying to do, educate people to say, no, that is untrue. You can go to Alliant, for instance, a big IT services contract, and just use it. You don't have to go through GSA. There's no neck to protect yourself, or you're still the one that is responsible for developing the acquisition, for writing the task order, for making sure requirements meet, running the competition. GSA doesn't even have to be involved in the Alliant contract if you don't want them to be. And that's something that Ed O'Hare, who is the head of the ITS office at GSA FAS, says, people just don't understand that. And we're working very hard to educate people to say, we don't need to even be involved. And Jim Williams as well, the former commissioner of FAS, has made that point several times.
A lot of talk about the multiple award contract, in fact, a GWAC up at NIH, CIO, how do they actually say it?
SP2.
Yeah, SP2. But don't they say CIOSP or something like that? Anyway, I always messed it up. Anything come up about that contract and whether there's been some like gurglings that OFPP may actually say, hey, no more NIH government-wide acquisition contract?
Interestingly, that didn't come up, but NIH, Diane Fraser, the head of their NIAC office, did make her case fairly well, saying why we have it, how it works, how it became a GWAC versus just an NIH-only contract. So I think she was trying to make her case both to Dan Gordon and to the committee about why this is an important contract. What's interesting is I've been told that no decision is imminent, but it is being worked on, and maybe we'll see it after July 4th. I've heard vendors say maybe this would go in the direction of a health IT contract, so government-wide health IT contract. People say that they may actually go in the direction of they may just let it go, OFPP may approve it. And in fact, NIH SP2 is starting to work on a bridge contract to extend it because they know they won't get the third iteration of the contract in time, awarded in time as the end of the current contract, if you know what I mean. They have to bridge
right.
to extend it.